showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy Thursday, everyone! Coming to you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime is a show. We are clocking in a little after 6 here. Be with you up until 8 o'clock, taking you in to your crisp, cool, almost a little chilly.
A little chilly, man.
I mean, you broke out the long sleeve.
Turtleneck is in effect.
I've got the sweatshirt out. I had to start my car and defrost it this morning.
Really?
For the first time in months.
Man, I'm just happy. You know, we asked for this. We did ask for this.
No, we did. No, how it is right now and how it's been for the last few hours, it's fantastic.
Beautiful. Perfect.
But I'm such a damn hypocrite. In the morning, I wake up and I have to defrost my car. I'm like, ugh, I wish it'd be a little more hotter out here so I don't have to do this.
But it's not, you know, get the ice.
That's also true. Now, you just wait until January.
Oh, man, that's the worst.
When that does have to happen.
That's the worst.
Have we had the discussion about what we prefer? Do we prefer, like, near triple-digit temperatures like we've had for the last few months? Or do we prefer freezing?
I mean, you can put more clothes on, so it can be freezing. You know, you can't take off your skin.
If only, just unzip it. Unzip it just layer by layer.
Yeah, hang it up in the closet until tomorrow.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That is so bad.
Oh.
That is so bad.
That's serial killer stuff right there.
It is.
It's okay. No, I get your point, though.
What about you?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, we love the sweet spot, how it is right now. I'm thinking about when do I feel worse? I think I feel worse when it's freezing really bad.
Really?
So I think I'd almost have to go with heat. I think. Maybe. Again, it all just depends. Like, obviously, when it's freezing outside, but you got the heat going on inside, feeling cozy.
Cozy.
Get a nice throw over yourself. Just relax. But if it gets hot inside, you're just
miserable.
Almost stripping down naked. You're having to turn on every fan that you have available in your household. It's a little more miserable. But if you're outside, I mean, if it's really hot, but you're near a source of water, pool, lake, it's not that bad. Beach, especially. But I don't know. That's weird. I guess it just depends on context.
Justin, are you a hot or cold guy?
Yeah, let's get Justin's take on this.
I mean, I hate being uncomfortable, like, at all, so really neither.
But if you had to pick one.
I guess gun to my head, cold, just because you can hide inside and put on a lot of clothes and build a fire, potentially. But I don't know. I mean, serious heat is just stifling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, serious cold, you can't breathe either. So
facts.
We just need more fall in East Tennessee. Being where we are, we don't get enough of it.
No.
Because we are in the South, and you don't get a lot of fall in the South. It's not like the falls that get up north.
Like the falls up north, they last about 2-3 months.
They last longer? I'm not saying they look better because the Smoky Mountains in the fall.
Beautiful right now.
All that. Look at that foliage. Just look at the foliage. It's fantastic. It is fantastic for real.
Yeah.
You know, people come stay in the Smokies during their fall breaks. Look at the beautiful scenery. This is a great time to go up to Cades Cove. Don't be a dumbass and get close to a bear, please.
Please leave those bears alone.
I feel like I cannot go. We can't go more than 1 month without seeing some dumb tourist in Cades Cove getting close to a bear.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the most, you know, traveled national park in the country. So I guess that comes with the territory. A lot of people don't understand that bears are dangerous animals.
Very dangerous.
Extremely, especially if you happen to cross a mama bear.
Yeah, I ran into a I had an experience of kind of with some dumb tourists. I was hiking Abrams Falls one time a couple summers ago.
How is that hike, by the way?
It's nice. It's not too bad. It's pretty flat. I need to get
my fat ass out and hike sometime. But continue.
And do a nice little swimming hole area there. But a little bit into the hike, there was like two or three like cubs like crossing the path like in front of us. And I mean, it was close to the trailhead, so there was a lot of people around. And I was like, oh crap, there's babies, which means there's probably a mom nearby, but we couldn't see where the mom or protector was. But there were people like 10, 15 yards away, like from these cubs, like trying to take pictures. And then the mom eventually like stumbled out of a bush, and like people were still like trying to get close and like get pictures. And it's like, dude, if she looks at you the wrong way, or you, she thinks you're looking at her cubs the wrong way, she's coming for you. So
yeah, it's self-defense at that point. Like, you're not going to be a snack. She's not going to eat you, but she will defend herself, and that means they get those big paws up. It's over for you. It's over for you. Isn't that true in black bears? They're less of, they're going to, if they attack a human, it's going to be less out of, like, just because.
They're not predatory like grizzly bears.
Grizzlies will kill you just to kill you, pretty much.
Yeah,
almost.
They're mean. But, yeah, if you get into a situation where you're around, you know, they're young, they're going to come get you.
Mm. So, yeah, that's another thing. I know it's fall break for UT students
as
well. So, yeah, if you plan on doing some nature walking, don't be an idiot. Please don't be an idiot. I would hope if you're a native from around the area and you do have some, like, common knowledge about bears, stay away. And that goes for a lot of other animals, too. Mm-hmm. If you run into, I know if you go up to where near my neck of the woods is, Royal Blue, I know, Justin, you're familiar with that area, right?
Yep.
Yeah, up there, it was over a decade ago, they reintroduced elk into the area.
Really?
You want to stay away from elk, especially if it's a bull elk, because those things aren't small. It's not like a little deer you'll see on the side of the highway. These things are massive. I almost had a run-in with one. Me and my parents did about 10 years ago. We went up there. And there was one that just crossed the trail like a little bit in front of us. We just stood there. I mean, I don't think he was threatened, but just like, what do you do in that point? Those things are massive.
Did you like stand still? Did you? What?
We backed away a little slowly. Okay. Of course, I was like 13 when this happened, so I was really scared. Me and my mom backed away. My stepdad just like stood there just in case.
Yeah.
I hiked Shuckstack Fire Tower one time up by Fontana Dam. And on the way back down, it was like dusk. And then me and the person I was hiking with were just like hearing like large mammals moving around like around us. And then like eventually two or three like mid-sized bears just kind of like ran in front of us on the path.
But oh my gosh.
We had to like, I mean, obviously the only way to for us to get home was to go down the hill, which was like in their direction. So, it was like a run down the hill.
Yeah, that's probably why I don't do as much hiking, especially out there in the wilderness. Because I don't know what I would do. I know what you're supposed to do, but if you're in a situation like that, your mind works differently. I'd have to be packing, I guess.
Man, y'all about to see this Julio speed.
I mean, I'd have to be or that too. Sprint like I've never sprinted before, which isn't that fast, but I don't know. The adrenaline rush, I guess it would be different here. Well, we've done a good time stalling here.
So we got to get to the obvious.
Oh, damn. Yeah, we do here. Tennessee, about 51 hours away from kickoff in Tuscaloosa. 9 o'clock kickoff. How stupid. They just want to use their lights so bad.
So bad.
I hope one of those light bulbs just explodes. I hope they have some malfunction with those lights so bad. You all know how much I hope something like that happens. Because that's the only reason they probably begged and pleaded to the SEC office to make this a 9 o'clock ESPN kickoff.
Yeah.
Stupid lights. That's what they're most concerned with, are those lights. I wish I could have that problem. Because I don't have to worry about their team.
I mean, they are pretty icy. I can't even lie. I mean, you saw the little snippet on their social media Twitter page.
Would you want something like that, Nealon? I'm just being honest. I'm interested to see what y'all think about that.
Like, all orange lights during a night game, that would be kind of dope, man.
If we were good.
If we were good,
See, that's the thing. You have to get good first, because if you're doing gimmicky stuff like that, at 2-4, well, people are just going to see that as a gimmick. But Alabama, Georgia do that, oh, it's badass.
Yeah, yeah, you got to justify that kind of technological savviness with a pretty decent record.
Which is interesting because the first time I saw lights like that, those LED lights used in the stadium setting, it was actually Purdue. It was Purdue last year when they destroyed Ohio State.
Hmm.
I actually noticed that. They showed them off post-game. They were like turning it like flashing on and off, like celebratory, I guess. So Purdue can have them. Interesting. I don't know. But, yeah, that's what they're most worried about. Not really worried about Tennessee. I mean, why would you? If you're them. I mean, I wouldn't. One thing that we are worried about, though, not when it comes to Alabama. We know what we're getting when it comes to Alabama.
Yeah.
You know exactly what you're getting. You're getting a team that, and you're getting a program that has become less known for being the best defense in the country, being just a stifling defense that nobody can run on. They're going to be after the quarterback all game long. They've become less known for that, even though their defense is still solid.
Mm-hmm.
They still have plenty of talent back there. More known for having an offense that you just cannot literally stop at all.
It's impossible. I mean, it's not impossible. Anything can happen, man. But, like, just looking at the pieces that they have around, it is going to be a challenge for this Tennessee football
team. It's a challenge for great defense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm imagining them if they met Clemson again in the playoff. That's going to be a challenge for those DBs.
I mean, their fourth best receiver could be a one receiver anywhere else in the country.
Easily.
You know, and who is their fourth best receiver? We don't know. We legit have no clue.
I think we know that Jerry Jeudy by talent is their best receiver. Has he been the best this season,
He's
though?
Honestly been third.
He's
been third or fourth.
Would you put Devontae Smith at one?
I would put him at one right
now.
He
did have that gigantic game against Ole Miss.
You score more than three TD. What, he had a five-piece, right?
He had five and 274 yards receiving, school record.
Oh, come on, man. Julio's been through there. Amari Cooper's been through there. Calvin Ridley's been through there. Devontae Smith.
That's the thing about Devontae Smith, too. Think of all the big plays he has made for Alabama. He caught the second and 26.
He's a gamer,
National championship winning touchdown pass. Earlier that season, he had a game-winning touchdown pass against Mississippi State, if you remember. Mullen made that really close.
Yeah.
Like, he's been kind of like their Juwan Jennings in a way when it comes to big plays.
He's a dog, man.
He was seen as the third, fourth best wide receiver. I think he was seen as fourth coming into the season.
Yeah, he was.
Behind Jalen Waddell or Ruggs, whoever you wanted to put that third. Man, they're so good. We're trying to think of these first, second round NFL wide receivers and if they're the third or fourth best. And, oh, yeah, who did they have thrown the ball to him?
Number one overall pick next year's draft.
Arguable Heisman front runner, Tua. Talk about blah, 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 blah. they still have him. Oh, they still got pretty good running backs too.
Yeah, Najee.
They're less of a running team now, though.
Nope, they air it out, man.
They just throw it on people. They score very easily. They'll give up a few points to you, but they're more of a bend don't break defense, is what I've seen.
Yep, exactly.
They're going to bend. They'll allow points, but here's the thing: they're not going to allow you to go strike for strike with them.
And that LSU Alabama matchup. I know we're talking this matchup this weekend, but just looking ahead to that, that's going to be an offensive showdown.
I mean, you can count on one hand the teams that can go strike for strike with them. LSU, like you just mentioned.
Yep.
LSU and Alabama is still crazy to think. Think about that 2011, 9-6 overtime.
Blech.
This is going to be the complete opposite when they play next month.
Yeah.
They went from having the two best defenses in the country when they played. I'm pretty sure they were statistically 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're statistically 1-2 for points per game.
That's crazy.
Averaging 52 per contest.
It's not SEC football. It's different.
I mean, it is now.
It is now.
This ain't your grandpappy's SEC football.
Back in my day, we played defense.
Set down, Boomer. There's no defense anymore.
Time for bed, old man.
I start glowing, laser eyes. Shut up, Boomer. We play offense in the SEC now. But seriously, though, LSU can go blow for blow with them. I still think Clemson can, even though they've had some struggles.
Yeah.
I think second half of the season, you'll start seeing the Clemson you're used to.
I think so, too.
Ohio State.
Yeah, Justin Fields.
Absolutely, man. Ohio State can. Oklahoma,
yes.
Of course.
Yes, Oklahoma can.
Is there anyone else? Because I would have said Georgia, but then they lost to South Carolina.
I don't think before they lost to South Carolina, Georgia
could have.
No. No, I really don't.
I thought they had a running game, too. I thought they could definitely run in Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, you put DeAndre Swift's dad in pads, too. See, they can tackle
him. Boy, that's
him.
A big man.
We stand DeAndre Swift's father
we
on
do.
This show.
We do. On this show, we are.
That's exactly what we do.
We are stand.
But before we hit the first break, we'll think about this when we take this break, and we'll come back and talk about more in the second segment. I put up on Twitter last night's KC Kitchen Center poll question. So, and this is the last official word we've had on him. Pruitt said as much at ball calls last night as well. Mm-hmm. Brian Maurer, officially a game time decision for Saturday's game against Alabama. Question we asked on Twitter, and there's still 2 hours left in this poll if you want to go make your voice heard. It's at Fox Sports Knox on the Twitter machine. Just scroll back a little bit to find this poll here. We have almost 850 votes in this one.
Nice.
So a lot of people weighed in. So Brian Maurer, officially a game time decision for Saturday. The question is, even if he's good to go, should Jeremy Pruitt rest him anyway against the Tide? Results right now. Again, almost 850 votes, 2 hours left. Leading the way, 42% of respondents say, yes, rest him, not worth the risk. Number two, 36% start him. And 12% you have let him play, but start Garantano. And 10% are not sure.
Okay. Well, we didn't have a JT Shrout option either, so, you know, we don't know where the pulse of the fan base really
okay,
is.
Okay, John. Okay, John. John Adams,
I'm
just
saying.
Knoxville News Sentinel. Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll take the first break of the program. If you would like to weigh in on that on the phone lines here, just call the Next Door Home Group hotline. It's 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Justin will greet you when you call in. For us here, we're taking the first break of the show. We'll be back after a short little message from all our lovely sponsors. You're listening to Overtime here on Fan Run Radio. So, we've had time to sit and stew on the question that was posed on the Twitter's post-show last night. Picking it back up here. Again, the question is, and you can go over to @ThoughtSportsKnox on Twitter, vote in the poll, KC Kitchen Center poll, make your voice heard. Brian Maurer, officially a game-time decision for Saturday's game, even if he is good to go, he's cleared concussion protocol and all that, should Pruitt still rest him anyway against Alabama. Again, poll results right now. 42% say yes. 36% say start him. 12% say let him play, but start Garantano. 10% are not sure. And Justin here thinking about JT Shrout. And there's an old head in the media trying to make the case for Shrout, too. That I'm not even going to acknowledge. So we've had time to think about this
a little bit
here. If he's cleared protocol, which Pruitt, last time he updated, he said that everything was going well. What was his exact phrase? He used a very, like, just very Pruitt way of describing the concussion protocol. Didn't even say concussion, by the way. I'll have to look up the quote. It was just, it's funny just when you read it back out loud. But while I find that, though,
yeah,
if he's good to go, do you start him against Alabama?
Honestly, absolutely not. No. Heck no. You cannot put that boy out there right now. I'm just being completely real. This game is a loss if Peyton Manning was back there at quarterback. Mm. This is where we're at.
I mean, you don't think 1995 Peyton Manning thrown to these receivers? You don't think play number one like it was in Birmingham, 80 yards, touchdown?
I mean, I never say never. You know, I'm the most sheep of all sheep, but I'm also a realist right now, and I'm being completely honest. Where, why get him hurt so that you're forced to play JG and then have JT Shroud as a backup? You know,
is it a guarantee he would get hurt though if he's healthy?
These first two games have shown me he is playing reckless. He is doing anything to win, and I respect that. And you can get hurt at any time in the game, regardless. You know, he can get hurt next game, but Let's wait until next game so we at least have a fighting chance for the weaker half of our schedule. That's what I think.
Justin, how about you? Where do you stand on this?
I agree with Malcolm, and we touched on it a little bit yesterday, but I mean, like Malcolm was saying, we, you know, 999 million to 1, you know, we're not going to win this game, you know, no matter who is at quarterback. That's just the way it is. And I think we're better off saving what appears to be our QB1 for the time being for South Carolina. And, you know, put JG out there. You know, I know we were all unhappy with him at the beginning of the season, but, I mean, if there's any opportunity to prove yourself and try to take the job back, you know, let him do it against Alabama. You know, if he does well, then, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. We're not going to win, you know, probably. But, you know, if I mean, South Carolina beat Georgia last week, you know, maybe old JG trot into Bryant-Denny Stadium under the hellish red lights, you know, prime time against Nick Saban and pull off a miracle. I mean, I think JG going in and pulling off a miracle is, you know, more likely than if Maurer was to start, you know, just from a, you know, what is Tennessee football perspective.
I got the quote, by the way, here.
Let's hear it.
So this is what Pruitt said, just exact words here, talking about Brian Maurer and going through his stats, trying to clear concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's went kind of through the protocol here, and he's taken some reps. He's went kind of through the protocol. I love Pruitt sometimes.
I do, too, because he knows he's funny.
Because we don't pay that man to be a college professor, you know, perfect with grammar and all of that. He's went not kind of went through the protocol. He's went kind of through the protocol. He definitely is. That is for sure here. I think my stance on this, and I think it's going to be a clean sweep right here when it comes to what we think about this. I do think you rest him. And here's the thing, too. And I say if he's good to go, that means he's passed concussion protocol. How many lingering effects does he still have, though? You can pass concussion protocol and still have effects.
Yeah.
Now, the way he got his concussion is certainly different than the way a couple weeks ago Riley Locklear suffered his concussion.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different. But still yet, though, it's just if he takes one wrong hit, if he tries to scramble, tries to get those extra yardage, which we've already seen him do.
Yeah, that's in his DNA.
Several times.
You can't take that out of him.
That's going to be one of those, it makes one read, two reads, nothing open, take off. That's what he's going to do. If he lands the wrong way again, not saying that it's likely that he's going to almost decapitate himself the way he did again. I don't think we'll ever see something like that anytime soon. But if he does take a certain hit, well, some minor lingering issues, whether it be just like a little headache or something like that, you know, they can come back and it could be worse the second time around. It's really not a good idea, really not recommend to scramble your brain a whole lot,
even
at all. If you do it a lot, twice within a week, it's really not good. And then all of a sudden, he may be out against South Carolina. You go from a game time decision looking pretty positive against Alabama to he's not playing against South Carolina.
Yeah.
I would also agree with maybe you do start Jarrett Garantano and let Brian Maurer out there the third drive, something like that. I wouldn't be entirely opposed to him having some type of playing time. I will say I'm not completely out on that. I am leaning towards just because it is concussion issue, you may want to rest him. And especially, let's just be honest, Pruitt's not going to tell you this. I know the coaches aren't going to have the mentality of this because a coaching staff, no matter what opponent you're playing, you're always going to scheme and game plan and practice like you have the perfect game plan to beat your opponent.
Yeah.
No matter who the hell that opponent is. I guarantee you, Jeremy Pruitt, you know, he would say, you know, in his coaching mind that, yeah, we have the game plan right here. We have the game plan to stop all these slants to these uber-talented wide receivers. We have all of that. But you know who he's going to tell you that we know who we're playing. Logically, we know who we're playing. So I don't know. This is again, the poll results show that there's kind of two different camps here. Some people are saying it's like, how is Brian Maurer going to be experienced against some tough competition if you don't play him out there against the best of the best in Tuscaloosa, which is also a fair point. I do see that. I'm just thinking long term here. I'm still thinking that this team does still have a chance to go 6-6 and get to a bowl game. You want all your pieces 100%, and you don't want to lose a very key piece in something that wasn't going to go your way anyway. I'm just playing it safe. I know I'm playing it safe. I know some people are going to say, oh, that's a loser mentality. We're going to lose.
Regardless.
Again, the coaches aren't going to tell you that, okay? But we know who we're playing.
Yeah.
Nick Saban's never been defeated by a former assistant, and I don't think, you know, that's going to start against the Tennessee team that we're trotting out there Saturday.
What is that record at, by the way? Former assistants. It's like 0-18.
Yeah. It's up there now.
It's got to be up there. It might be 0-12, something a little less. But it's definitely well into the double digits.
Who's coming the closest? Kirby?
Yeah, Kirby. Kirby twice. If they don't fall apart in that second half of the national championship game, let Tua beat them. And think about that, too. Didn't Alabama score a tying touchdown or a touchdown to get them close on a fourth down in that national championship
game?
They went for it all. If they make one stop, or they capitalize on getting that first sack of Tua to make it 2nd-26. If Kirby Dumb doesn't put Justin Fields out there on the worst fake punt you'll ever see in your entire life.
Justin Fields hasn't been in the game all season.
No, he hadn't.
And then you're going to put him out there for a fake punt?
Well, he definitely hadn't been in the game in real meaningful action.
Yeah.
And you put him out there to do that? That ain't it, Chief.
Awful.
Entering this season, Saban is 16-0 against former assistants, beating them by a combined score of 650.
So that was
to 220.
Oh, my God. So that was entering this season. So he has a win over
Jimbo.
It's 18-0. He has a win over Muschamp. He has a win over Jimbo. Wow.
Man.
It's going to be 19-0.
Oh, man.
Am I being too negative, Malcolm?
No, not at all. You're being a realist. We are here on the show to be real, to be completely objective.
I always try to be real. And like last week, heading towards Mississippi State, I was realistic and I said, yeah, Mississippi State's probably going to win, but I could definitely see a scenario in which we win, in which we look a whole lot better. And, wouldn't you know it?
Boom.
Wouldn't you know what happened? But this is – you ain't got the horses.
Realistically, man. Realistically, I don't know if we got to cut the break anytime soon, but how does Tennessee win this game? What is the strategic plan if you were Coach Jeremy Pruitt and staff, you're in your Thursday meeting today? Guys, we're going to do X, Y, Z to try and put us in position to win this game. What is that?
Well, number one, and this is me not with a whole 100% football strategic mind. I'm not a field general in any sense of the word right here. But if we're going to be realistic, we're going to use logic. You try to control that clock the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean trying to first establish the run? I think it does. I really think it does. You could run on this Alabama team. There's been lesser teams that have done it.
Yeah.
And when I say lesser, I mean lesser comparable talent on an opponent's offense versus Alabama's defense. You can put up points. You can put up yards. Just the only problem is Alabama will get the ball back eventually.
Eventually.
Now, you could try to do what Pruitt joked about Monday, do what that Arkansas high school head coach has done forever. Never punts, always onside kicks it. And he's won a lot of games doing that, but that is high school football. Realistically, though, that would be your best strategy. I'm serious.
I promise I'd do it. I promise you I'd do it.
I would, too. But the thing is, if none of that works, then how does that look?
To me, it sends a message that, like, I legit think that Tennessee can win. You know, I mean, that sends a message to recruits, like, hey, there's a sense of urgency, you know? So,
I mean, that's what I would do on offense. You try your best to establish the run game, and your offensive line's been playing really good.
Yeah.
I think they could hold their own for a little bit. You do your best you can to control that clock, keep the chains moving, use up a lot of play clock as well before you snap it, and you hope that Ty Chandler, Tim Jordan, and Eric Gray have A-plus games, as well as your offensive line when it comes to run blocking. And, you know, hopefully you'd be able to have success in the passing game. I don't know how much he would. Again, a lot of that depends on who the quarterback is out there.
I mean, I'm just putting Juwan Jennings in one-on-one situations, especially with Patrick Surtain, because to me, he's not what everybody thinks he is back there. And you just chuck it up, man. That's the only thing I know how to do.
Defensively, though, I don't know what the hell you do. I'm just throwing my arms up.
There's nothing to do, man. There's nothing to do.
Again, I know they have a plan in place. I know they're going to, I guess, try their best to make Alabama run the football. But I don't know how long you can do that, though. I don't know how sustainable it is.
We're about to see how great of a defensive mind Jeremy Pruitt is.
Scheme it up, Jeremy. Scheme it up, Skolcan. We shall see.
We shall see, man.
Hit another break here. Be back when we're overtime. I think we're going to go over to the Next Door Home Group hotline as well. If you would like to join the show, just call 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Back when we're overtime after this. Back here on Overtime, Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. I don't even know what I was going to talk about here, starting off, because I saw this tweet. What we didn't mention yesterday.
Yeah.
NFL lost a legend, man. To death or anything.
Oh, like I was that. Like, oh my God.
Whoa, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to word it that way. because before I said it, I was kind of laughing a little bit. No, I promise nobody.
And I sound like somebody, Grandpa. Who, nephew?
Nobody died. I promise. No, former NFL quarterback retired, guys.
Oh.
Super Bowl champion, Brock Osweiler. He was supposed to be the heir apparent to Peyton Manning in Denver. Saw what happened there. Yeah, man. Retired. I thought he had already retired, to be honest with you.
Brock Osweiler.
When's the last time he was on a roster?
The Browns. Well, no, he played for the Miami. He was a quarterback of the Miami Miracle, was he not? When they stunned the Patriots with the lateral, Kenyon Drake. Let me see.
So during week 4 of the 2018 season, Osweiler came into a 38-7 loss to the Patriots in relief of Ryan Tannehill, threw a touchdown to Frank Gore in the fourth quarter. Frank Gore is still playing football, by the way. Shout to him.
Iron Man.
2 weeks later, Osweiler was named the starter for week 6 against the Bears after Tannehill was inactive due to a shoulder injury. Osweiler passed for 380 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 picks, led the Dolphins to a 31-28 overtime victory. He appeared in 4 games the remainder of the season, threw 2 picks, no touchdowns. He finished last season 1,247 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, 4 picks in 7 games. Yeah, that's the last time he's on the roster. Wasn't even on an offseason roster this year. Called it quits. Called it quits. Played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons. The first 4 with the Broncos. Then remember, he was traded to the Texans. He was the Texans starter for most of 2016. And then the Browns. That was only in the offseason. Then back to Denver, 2017. And then back to Miami. Super Bowl champion. He has a ring. Dan Marino doesn't.
Oh, man. You can't do that.
But the tweet, though. The content of this tweet, gentlemen. So, Brock Osweiler, his career earnings, all that. And I'll look at, and yeah, I have all his stats right here, too. Career earnings of almost $41.4 million.
How many games?
This tweet, by the way, is from Carrington Harrison. He, I don't know what he does, but he's a verified account. Okay. yeah, almost $41.4 mil. Never started a full season, a career record of 15-15, 37 touchdowns to 31 picks. Hey, won a Super Bowl and retired by 30. Legend.
Boy, beat the case.
I mean, he finessed the system.
Earned more than $2.75 million per win is what that breaks down to. Almost $3 million per dub.
Can you look up the contract the Texans signed him to?
I got it right here.
What we got?
You ready?
I'm so ready for this.
4-year, $72 million, 37 guaranteed. Boy, who is his agent? Because I need to talk to him. I just want to have a conversation. Ooh. I'm young and hungry. I'm ready.
He didn't have Rosenhaus, did he? Someone like that?
Oh, man. I need to look that
That's
up.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And you've got to think people at other positions, like running back, they're just killing their bodies, having an average career of, what, 3 or 4 seasons? They don't sniff any money like that. Running backs don't get paid like that. Brock Osweiler's just living the dream. I'd like to look up Tyler Bray's career earnings just for holding the clipboard for 7 years.
In college, this man only threw 33 touchdowns on 15 interceptions in his college career.
That's his entire career?
He was drafted.
Wait a minute. That's not his entire career, is it?
Yeah.
At Arizona State? I remember him being much better at Arizona
State. Listen,
man.
2009, he threw 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. 2010, 5 TDs, 0 interceptions. So, apparently, he didn't start until 2011. That's his only year as a starter.
That would make sense with the stats, then.
And he threw 26 touchdowns on 13 interceptions. And then, eventually, he was picked up as the 6th best quarterback in the 2012 draft, 6'6", and yeah, man.
Yeah, he was big.
That's a typical John Elway yeah. guy.
Wow, I mean, what an awful quarterback, but finesse the system.
57th overall pick in the 2nd round, off of 1 year being a starter at ASU.
And now he doesn't have to – if he knows how to manage that money, he does not have to work a day in his life.
I mean, he has a degree from a really good school in Arizona State.
He'll probably walk into an analyst's job somewhere.
Something like that. He'll get a career working behind the scenes for some team in the front office, I'm sure. Okay, shout out to Brock Osweiler. He's going to retire with most of his health intact. You got to think, Andrew Luck retires before he's 30 and all those accolades. 0 Super Bowl appearances. Brock just, you know, he rides the bench. He had to come in when he needed to when Peyton started to stink it up in 2015. Help get the Broncos to get playoff position. Got his ring. And has a ton of money.
The American dream.
I mean, pretty much.
Who's next to, like, be an early retiree?
Who's on the career trajectory like he is?
Man, to be honest, I think Cam might be out.
Really? You think this is it?
What more do you have to prove? I know he wants to win, but like...
You don't think he'd give at least a couple more seasons with another team shot?
I'd say one.
Just to see what a new season would do?
Just to see, yeah.
And if it's not working, just...
Pull the plug, out. Yeah.
Just because of like the type of guy he is, I could see Jared Goff doing this.
Ooh.
I could totally
just made all this money.
I haven't thought about Goff
right
like
now,
that.
It's a 4-year... $134 million extension. But, I mean, at least in year one, it's not looking like he's, you know, blown anybody away. It's looking like the Rams just kind of paid him because they had to. I could see Goff doing, you know, a similar sort of deal. Now, he's going to be more successful, and he, you know, he quarterbacked, you know, the team on his own to a Super Bowl berth, but...
Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Because especially if he ends up getting like one more serious injury, I mean, he's got his ring. He has the Super Bowl MVP. Didn't the Jags sign to a pretty decent deal as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see Foles maybe.
Definitely more respectable career.
Oh, easily. But hey, I can't hate on Brock Osweiler.
No, not at all.
I can't hate on old Robert Pattinson. You see it, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
you see it, don't you?
There.
Who do you play in Twilight? Edward? Team Edward, man.
You are a fool, man. I literally see it. I cannot get that out of my head now.
Well, here in a few years, you won't think of Robert Pattinson as the dude from Twilight anymore. You'll think of him as Batman. Because you didn't know that, did you?
No, sir. Dropping knowledge.
Yeah. Hmm. You didn't know that either, Justin? Yeah, Robert Pattinson's your next Batman.
He better go, like, what's that called? Method?
Method acting.
I don't know.
Like Joaquin just did for Joker.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if y'all haven't seen Joker, go see Joker. Joker's fantastic. Joker's the film of the year easily. Probably, maybe the decade, potentially. I think so. It's one of the most enjoyable films I've ever watched.
Okay.
I'm
taking your word for it.
I'm not saying it should win, like, you know, Best Picture at the Oscars, but Joaquin Phoenix should win Best Actor easily.
A lot of people have said that.
Easily.
A lot of people have said that.
And I told you how I stood on it. I mean, yeah. I think he's my favorite Joker, slightly over Heath. Don't come at me over that.
I'm not knowledgeable enough to weigh into that controversy, but
just an opinion.
I just need to watch it. That's it. And then we'll definitely have this dialogue.
That's what you should do. Before we hit this break here, you can call us on the Nextdoor phone lines, 865-546-8200. It's brought to you by Eli Corum and the Nextdoor Home Group. They are with Keller Williams Realty. No gimmicks, just results. Eli Corum's team's been rated in the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. They get the job done and money left in your pocket. They give you a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience. He's got a top-notch team and the most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry, and they've got negotiation and customer service skills that are unmatched in the market. Just give them a call, 865-233-9461, or you can visit their website and check their listings at nextdoorhomes.com. Hit this final break of hour one. We will be back to wrap up the hour when we return. Got Thursday night football coming up after the show. I did remember today was Thursday, not like yesterday. I feel a whole lot more like I'm here.
Yesterday was a weird day for all of us.
I felt like it was Thursday all day.
Me too.
I led into one of our segments yesterday saying, stay tuned for Thursday night football. Oh, wait a minute.
It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. We do have Thursday night football tonight.
Yeah, we do.
We absolutely do. We will have Westwood One's coverage of Thursday night football, AM 1340 FM. 105.7 here. We tune in. It's brought to you by MyBookie. AFC West battle. The Chiefs trying not to drop three straight, going to the Broncos, who all of a sudden have won two in a row. See A.J. Johnson out there? See Khalil McKenzie out there for the Chiefs? How much playing time is he getting?
He's with the Seahawks now.
Oh, that's right. Wow. When did that happen?
Like a month ago.
I guess he wasn't playing a lot then.
Yeah.
My bad. You still have Dustin Colquitt out there for the Chiefs. There you go. You still have a VFL out there for the Chiefs.
Still got a VFL out there.
Look at that. Okay. Save myself a little bit there.
No, you're good. I got you like a sweater.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Again, it's brought to you by MyBookie, official sports book of Fan Run Radio. So go over to MyBookie if you want to get on the action tonight. And, of course, any college football or NFL action this weekend or anything else. I mean, we got ALCS, NHL, NBA starting Tuesday.
I'm so excited.
October is absolutely fantastic. Loaded. I think we've mentioned this before, but October, probably the best overall sports month.
Oh,
when
easily.
It comes to like everything you can consume, fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic here. I guess we'll end this segment talking about the fact that we do have ALCS game four tonight. What time's first pitch?
First pitch is at 8:08. No Kanye.
Like that. Very solid album.
Very.
Underrated.
Very. As a child, I didn't understand. Now I do.
Now you do. Yeah. It's one of those things that just has to grow on you. You have to revisit it when you mature a little bit here. 8:08 first pitch from the Bronx. If the Astros go back home with a 3-1 lead, this thing is donezo.
Wrap it up.
It's donezo. Do we think that the Yankees are going to tie this up tonight? Come on, baseball guy, Justin. What do you think? I need your hard-hitting analysis right here.
Hang on. I actually haven't looked and seen who the starting pitchers are or anything
like that. Tanaka. Probable. Versus... probable pitchers. Greinke. That's probable pitchers right now, so expect those two to start.
I think the Yankees take one at home. The Astros manager just came out and said that if the Yankees fans in right field, so the Yankees fans that are in and around right field have been harassing the Astros right fielder for kind of the whole series, and going into these games in New York, he voiced his displeasure about it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's going to make him stop.
Yeah, so that was a bad move.
Idiot.
And so just now before the game, the Astros manager said if the Yankee fans in right field continue to throw things on the field, that he's just going to pull his team off the field. So right now, Astros Twitter and Yankees Twitter are just kind of going at each other, calling each other soft and all that kind of stuff.
I didn't know they've been throwing stuff onto the field.
I didn't know that either.
I mean, out that area, that's Bleacher Creatures territory, right? That's where they're at, out there in the outfield?
I believe so. There's been scores of just, you know, Guidos just smacking the wall, making all sorts of noise. So,
I mean, even if you hate the Yankees, I mean, they still have a passionate fan base. At least the ones that actually go to the games. I mean, I've been to a Yankee stadium for a game before. I've been for a Yankees Red Sox. I mean,
that's as big as it gets.
There weren't a lot of people there,
though. Really?
But again, it was like a Wednesday.
Okay.
And very cold for June. So that might play into it. Alec Baldwin was there. They show him on the Jumbotron.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, he was there. Obviously, it's New York. There's always going to be celebrity at some type of game. But that's just random Alec Baldwin appearance. That's pretty much all I remember. Yankees lost. Tanaka started that one, actually. Tanaka's on the mound tonight. Tanaka got destroyed in the game I watched. That was a blowout in favor of the Red Sox.
They were just knocking him back.
I did get to see Aaron Judge make a fantastic grab at the wall, though. I remember that. I remember the subway ride to and from. That's about it.
True or false? Aaron Judge would be an all-star tight end.
True.
I just think, I mean, his really body. True.
Yeah.
Didn't he play football in high school as well? I mean, he's gigantic.
He's humongous, y'all.
He's gigantic, and he kind of looks like Shrek.
That would be the epitome of bully ball if he had any sort of hands to be out there at tight end.
I'll just let that image set in your mind. When you think of Aaron Judge, you're going to think of Shrek from now on.
Somebody!
865-546-8200-546-8200. We'll pick it back up on hour number 2 of Overtime on the other side. Be with you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Catch you after this.